The following episode of The Love Bomb is brought to you by Spoke. It's a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
My favorite color is white. Problematic wordage for 2017. Explainage, I'll word dance, so we'll see. My favorite color is white. The white I adore does not exist skin toned, transcendent of epidermis hue, crown chakra gloried, a vastness, a sense of hollow, shallowness, to be filled, a vibration of goodness, oneness in the idea that all color spawned from her, the Big Bang. Not so pureness, filthy whites, virginal with possibility, expectation to be used. Blank's canvas future, a sense of humility, high technology, higher tech, a crier, a wreck. An emotional emptiness with an eagerness to take shape, form to be formed, the wormhole, shades. I can see infinitely in her shades. Puritan sin. Fertilized eggshells cracked, ghosts from yesterday's pack, smoke from my burning hand rolled, baby powdered loafers to protect snowfalls Nico stormed, ivory engraved pipes opium packed, orchid white orifices spawn holy matrimony, seashell elementary school projects and corn silk thread, my grandma's credenza lined old lace doilies, bare truth and lies, white bear, polar bear, cream in my coffee. Worn white chucks falling apart, the right vintage white tee. Antique white frame, gilded lily painted linen sheets are all I sleep. Matte wrapped oyster shell, pearl sack, Dutch. Vision, psilocybin, mushroom cap, dropping ceremonial python bone, accoutrements bone. A whisper in clouds. Vanilla scented candles reminiscent of Roeder's house. Flax white omegas, charged tapestry, cotton. Kleenex to blow my noses, powdered, snorted. Arctic mountain caps and stems, moonstone gems, moon-toned. I get lost in whiteness and found in knowing all colors blended here. Vitamixed, essential sunlight. The beginning, the middle, and the end. Spectrum blanco, there's love in it. Sex in it. Lovers and loved and loving and love in it. Hope, white, is my favorite color. Sean D. Ross is an enigma. Understood, born, May 10th, tourist, bold. Grew up in the Bronx, African-American, sans melanin. Barriers broken. Take life's tokens and play the game. Succeed. Modeled, life modeled, Givenchy'd. A boldness, recognizable. Charitable, for the cause. A typical, non-typical, celebrity flaunted. Hustler, voguer, fashion dripper, sipper, platinum zipper. The man in the high castle, music video girl, the boy with the fair skin who wants playing fields fair created, Lana Del Rey, people think I look like her, Beyonce, fuck your county fair sideshow, she come to slay, ho, tropico, fashion shows walking to front row, normal, the new normal, queer and black and white and red all over, albino. The first male albino model in history. That's history. Groundbreaking. That's not a mystery.
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs, relatable flashbacks, and love.
This is a conversation with a human I love named Sean. What's your favorite color?
So it's weird because when I was young, I used to love green a lot. I think it was because that was my birthstone. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's weird today. It's weird. I think I'm definitely like inside of darker blues.
Okay.
Definitely into earth tones though.
Yeah. All right. Who are you? If people don't know who you are, who is Sean Ross?
how you go, the wiki or the real?
Just however you want to answer it.
Sean Ross is a very quirky, cool, I like to live every single day like it's the last. I believe that it's really important to. I think that Sean Ross is just a person who just loves to just like love everything around him, to be honest with you. And then also on top of that, I'm like a huge model.
That's what you do. That's your job.
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah. What were you like as a little kid?
As a little kid, it's crazy. It's weird. I had like a crazy imagination. Now that I'm thinking about it, like I always talk about this all the time, like something I could share with you. So when I was young, I used to live in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And my family owned this three-story home. My grandfather lived on the top. We lived in the middle, and no one lived on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Upstairs was my grandfather's house in my dad's old bedroom, because my dad actually lived in the house that he was raised in. It's kind of weird. He still does. But long story short, there was a room that was empty, and it just had all this like shit in it, like just like telephones. It had...
This is in Grandpa's house.
Grandpa's house, yeah. Okay. He had, like, telephones, and he had, like, old, like, vinyls, and, like, just, like... Just
like a hoarder a little bit?
Kind of like a hoarder of old junk, yes.
Okay. My grandma lived in my basement, and it was the same situation. Boxes really? And boxes of just shit.
Yeah, so
but, like, I would, cool
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, so I would just go through it, and, like... And I just found myself just, like, creating stuff in there, like, every single day.
Mm.
And... One thing I loved is that, like, my family, like, you know, they never told me no.
Mm.
My grandfather especially, he never told me no. And I think that that's what allowed me to be who I am today, is extremely creative. Like, when I was younger, I really had a hard time with math.
Okay.
I didn't know how to do my times table, like, really, really well. So my grandfather said, you need to know how to do this. He said, here's $10. Go get you some Chinese food, because you love Chinese food. But out of that money, go and I want you to get some markers. I was like, okay. So I went and I got some Crayola markers. So I bring it back with my Chinese food. I ate my food. And he's like, okay, cool. He was like, what's your favorite color? And I'm like, well, I like the green, but the green was too light. So he said, pick another color. So I picked purple. And he said, go get the ladder. I said, cool. So he takes me in the room with the ladder and he says, do your times tables. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, write them on a wall. Go. And I just wrote my times tables from one to like, the ending, like, literally, like, on a marker on a wall.
Wow.
And it's painted over now, but it was just, like, my whole life was that, expressing myself, just being crazy, like, wearing my mom's, like, Manolos and, like, in the freaking kitchen and, like, making a clacking noise because I saw Savion Glover do tap dancing on Sesame Street. And I said, okay, I want to make that sound, too. And my mom's like, no, honey, not in my Manolos. I'll take you and get you the real thing. It's called tapping. And that's how I started to do dancing when I was six.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think... That we should point out for anybody that doesn't know who you are, too. You are a huge model, and you are the first male model that is albino, correct?
Yeah.
What was that like growing up?
So I didn't want to be a model. That's okay. Number one. I always wanted to be a dancer, really inspired by people like Janet and Michael mm-hmm. and Beyonce and Madonna, and just really like loving stuff like that. And I really wanted to be just like a dancer. I just loved taking like Michael Jackson tapes on the VCR and just like reverse, you know, fast forward, just like to look at the move. Okay, so he went boom, cat, or did he go boom, cat, cat? Like, mm-hmm. You know, what did he do? And I just used to do this all the time. And when I was younger, you know, I just never imagined, you know, things that, you know, fashion is such a thing of beauty, you know, and like right. My mom and my family have always made me feel beautiful, obviously.
Hmm.
But the public, not so much, you know, like, to me, like, the criticism and the stares, like, I don't even know, today, like, people be like, that person's staring at you, I don't even notice, yeah. I don't even care to look for people staring at me, but it was,
Well, do you think it's a different stare today?
So, this is the thing, I used to
ask,
for sure, yeah. Sometimes it still is, bad, but I had to tell my mom, because my mom would get really, should we get really
protective,
protective and defensive, because when I was younger, side note, going off sidetrack,
mm-hmm.
I did it a lot.
It's okay.
But
it's a free space in here.
Love it. So my mom basically one time, she took me, I guess when I was younger, to 34th Street to see Santa Claus around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, my mom, I wanted like one of the big giant lollipops. And this lady goes to my mom and says, do you think his mom would approve of that? Because she thought that my mom was my nanny.
Right.
And my mom was like, yes, his mom would approve of that. I am his mom.
Hmm.
So my mom has always had to always go through, you know, it's kind of bad to always, you know, knowing that you love your son, but always having to explain to the people around you, like, what he is, what he has, it was really annoying after a while. And my mom would get so defensive in the store sometimes. Like, I remember me being younger and people just looking at me, and my mom would be like, take a picture, it'll last longer. Hmm. Or like, what the fuck are you looking at? You know, like, stuff like that. And after a while, I'd have to tell my mom, like, you can't lash out like anymore, because sometimes people may be staring at me because they don't know how to comprehend it, and that's okay.
Right.
Or I may be the most beautiful thing they've ever seen, and they don't know how to comprehend that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just may want to stare.
Yeah.
As long as you don't come out of your mouth and disrespect me, I could care less.
Yeah, I mean, or at this point, they know who you are. They've seen you on every billboard all over the fucking
city. She doesn't do it today.
Yeah. Are you an only child? You have brothers and sisters?
I'm not an only child. I am the second to last. I have an older brother and an older sister, mm-hmm. And a younger brother.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird, because like my younger brother, you know, he kind of gets like the backlash to kind of like what I went through, because my little brother has diabetes.
Mm.
And he's had it ever since he was one, and he's about to be 18, but he looks like he's like 11.
Oh, really? Because
he's short. He's really short. If I showed you a picture of my little brother, you, like, that boy is not going to turn 18. I'm like, no, he is.
Mm.
He's having his 18th birthday, and he's not really, really social.
Yeah.
And it really makes me sad, because it's like, you know, me doing fashion and stuff like that, it's like I kind of can't be there for him in the way that I want to.
Right.
Like my sister and brother were like, you know, my brother and sister all the time, like anybody ever fucked with me, like they would be like, oh, like, no, you're not messing with my brother. Like, hell no. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that for him, you know, because I'll go in his school in a heartbeat and I'll be like, I wish you would.
Right. Yeah. Are there other creative types in your family?
My mom actually used to be a model back in the 80s.
Mm.
For like Betsy Johnson, and like she used to do like showroom stuff for like Chanel. My whole family loves music. Like, we all love music, just like listening to it. My dad is like a computer kind of guy, but I feel like he should be a DJ. Like, he has like the best like collection of music. It's crazy.
Hmm.
My brother was I think he's a fourth degree. He's a fourth degree black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he also did music for a while. My little brother, like, everybody's just like really like into like the creative space, honestly. Right.
Were you bullied growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And, you know, I was bullied growing up, and it's a cool thing to talk about. But after a while, I started to notice that everybody was bullied some way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, some way or how, you know, everybody was bullied.
I mean, if you weren't bullied in school, you were bullied by your parents or something.
Yeah. Like, everyone was bullied.
Are there any stories that stick out?
So there's two. The first one was when I was in elementary school, and I was walking out, school let out. And this kid, he said something like, mommy, look at him. He's so white. He's so white. And, you know, you would think that his mother would go and be like, don't say that. Like, you know, it's not bad. She said, don't say that. She said, just think of him as the movie Powder.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I remember this. I was, like, in the fourth grade.
Had you seen that movie?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, it's weird. I feel like the older I get, I feel like him.
Huh, interesting.
It's weird.
I haven't seen that movie since I was a little kid. But I remember I really loved it. And I actually felt like him for some reason, if that makes any sense.
No, it's weird. I actually had a conversation on Facebook years ago with the guy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What was that like?
Minimal.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was minimal.
Hmm.
But, yeah, she was just like, you know, think of him as the guy from the movie Powder. And I'm just like, I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Hmm.
And then the second one was when I was my first day... First Friday in the sixth grade, freshman Friday, when they pick on all the freshmen. And basically, there was this boy named Adonis. And all of these kids, like, I was just, like, you know, minding my own business. And all of these kids were just, like, laughing and stuff like that. And all I knew was that, like, they had, like, a net bag. It was like a net. And they had all these eggs in it. And I was just, like, talking to a friend. And somebody just came and just, like, slammed the back of my head with all of this egg yolk on the back of my head. Then it was a time... when this boy pushed me through a window of a chicken spot in the Bronx.
Hmm.
I was in the sixth grade. And then when I was in the seventh grade, this boy was making fun of me. We were going back and forth, and he was making fun of me. And I'm not going to lie to you. If you fucking, like, come in and making fun of me, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to, like, I'm a quick person.
You're clapping back, yeah.
I'm clapping back, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to clap back and just be like, oh, you're ugly.
Right.
I'm just going to, like, get on your nerves.
Yeah.
He didn't like it. We got into a fight. He took a Paper Mate pen. He stabbed me in my back like 4 times.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wait, stabbed you in your back?
Yeah. A Paper Mate pen like went through my back.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like blood, everything?
Blood, yeah. I had to go to like the doctor after. He had to like do like these injections in each like wound to just make sure like, you know, I wouldn't like, you know, catch anything or get like sick or anything.
Oh my, how deep were these stabs?
They weren't that deep. No? They were like about like, I would say like about like this big.
Okay, a couple inches, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, did you... I mean, was there any,
he got,
like...
He got expelled.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he got expelled.
Did the police get involved at all, or...?
Yeah, they did. They did get involved. And honestly, like, I saw the boy crying.
Right.
They had him in handcuffs. And then I told my mom, I was like, tell them, like, to take them off of him.
Hmm. Why'd you say that?
Because I'm just like, I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I can be a super, like, crazy, malevolent bitch. Like, I really can be. But I really don't care to.
I mean, even when you're talking about it now, though, like, there's a sense of blasé.
Yeah, I don't care.
It doesn't even really affect
you.
Yeah,
nothing really sticks with me that long.
But within the first couple sentences of how we started this, when I asked who is Sean Ross, yeah, you said who's a little bit insecure.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Insecure in a lot of different ways. My insecurity is definitely getting better, but I think my biggest insecurities came from me actually understanding who I am, me actually standing firm in my place, and really understanding what I contribute to the world.
Right.
That's where my insecurity stands by. I also was a very insecure person in relationships.
Right.
Very insecure, like in the sense where it's just like, do I deserve to have this? Is this real? Is this even what I imagine it to be, you know, kind of situation?
All right, well, on that line, I mean, when did the idea of sexuality and where you stand on it kind of enter into...
So I've always known I've been gay.
Always.
I've always known I've been gay. Yeah. Since I was a kid. The first person I ever came out to was when I was 10.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It was this girl named Stephanie. She's like, you act like a girl. She's like, you act like a girl. She's like, are you gay? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, that's cool. You can be my gay friend. And she told the whole school the next day, and like everybody knew. And like, wow. I was just always like the openly gay kid, because I went to like my zone schools. So I grew up with a lot of these kids.
Right.
So I was like the openly gay kid from like fifth grade all throughout junior high school, all throughout high school.
Wow. Were there other gay kids too?
They were like questionable kids. I mean, a lot of them are gay today. I mean, you know.
Right, but not as open as you were.
No, hell, I was open as hell.
Wow. Were there white people in the area that you grew up in the Bronx?
Not really.
That you went to school with?
No, it was definitely like minorities. It was more so like the Dominican Latino community. It was the Caribbean community.
Right.
It was black. Yeah, it was not many. I think there was only one white girl that went to my school.
Huh.
Oh, I probably was the only white girl.
Well, I mean, for anybody that doesn't know what albinism is, can you just give us like a brief explanation?
So a cool way that I try to explain to people what albinism is basically I'm a living X-Men, basically.
Yeah.
It's when your genes mutate themselves where you're not allowed to produce pigment,
right?
Honestly. So basically I am a real X-Men, basically.
I mean, do you have any special powers too?
I do.
Tell me.
I think my special power is just me, my presence. That is my power, to be honest with you. And it's funny because Alex was saying this. Like he said he thinks that I'm a witch because I can, like, I don't know. I have this way with people. I'm very persuasive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could tell that just from the first
What's
time
your
meeting
sign?
You. I'm a Leo. Yeah, what was that about?
Leos.
Why? Okay, it says the Taurus.
No, me and Leos. It's, you know something? The only thing that I don't like about Leos is I feel like Leos are, like, amazing liars.
Mm.
And I feel like they're faithful through the heart,
yeah,
not sexually, which is fine because I'm learning. I feel like no one really is in their own way because there's multiple ways to cheat,
right?
And to be honest, you sex is not the worst.
It's not.
And people think that.
Well, do you think like emotionally cheating
Absolutely.
Is much worse?
If you're fucking calling me, so I'll give you something. So like me and my ex boyfriend, like I used to call him like Pookie Bookie. Yeah. So it's like if I'm fucking calling another boy, like if we're together and I'm texting another boy Pookie Bookie, you're like, bitch, what? Like I'm Pookie Bookie, I'll kill you. Like you know?
Yeah.
It's that's emotional cheating. It's like, why would you do that? I think that's completely, but I love the willpower of a Leo.
Right.
It's completely sexy to me. Just how they can like fucking like own the room and like get shit done. Like I love that.
Yeah. When was the first time you were in love?
The first time I ever dated somebody was when I was 17.
Okay.
The first time I can honestly officially say that I was in love, it depends. Because it's like, love is like, I'm learning like, you know, like love is so...
It changes as you get
it
older.
It changes yeah, as course. You get older. And it's like, I remember when I used to date one of my other exes, and I'm actually happy he just came out to his family recently because that was a big hinder on...
Your relationship?
Our relationship, yeah. We lived together for like 2 years. Like, I was a secret. It was a whole thing. Mm. Like, just a hot mess. And I loved him for sure. I still have love for him. We have a great relationship. We still talk here and there.
Hmm.
The last relationship that I just got out of definitely was in love with him for sure.
Is he the one that I met?
Yeah.
You guys dated for a while, right?
Like a year and like a half, you know, like I just think that it's just a lot of not understanding, but like the things that like I loved about him was just like he was always like he was like my number one fan,
right?
Like he was always like he was literally like always supportive of like whatever it was that I wanted to do, and you know, he knows that like I would do anything to like make him like smile. I probably didn't do like the best,
right?
Vice versa, but like he knows like I would do anything to like make him smile. Sometimes I could have done it better, but it is what it is.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
But guess what? You learn.
You do. Was there a relationship growing up that you kind of looked up to at all? Or even now?
Yeah, there's a relationship. So she's like a mentor for me. She lives in France. She's about like 50 something. Her name is Sylvie Blocher.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband Francois. And what I admire about them is that so they met when they were like I think somebody tried to like put them together and she was like ugh no, and like I think she needed a guy to like put up an installation, and like she's an artist,
okay,
so he had to like he's an architect mm-hmm. and he basically had to like put something up for her, and he ended up falling off a ladder and they ended up falling in love, and they've been together since they were 21 and they're like 50 late 50s right now, and they've never been married.
Really?
Never been married. They have no kids. They just adopt people.
Huh.
Not like legally, but they...
Like spiritually. Yeah, emotionally.
Yeah, they adopt people. They're like, you know, I'm adopt you. I bring other people in this world when there's so many people in this world that need love.
Yeah, they take care of people.
Yeah.
My mom does that a lot, actually, with a lot of my friends, too.
Really?
Yeah. So do you want to get married at some point?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I have my dream wedding in my head.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a white gown... No, not women's. Like, okay. Like a long, like just like oversized, like
cape.
No, like think of like a long sleeve shirt going all the way down to the ground. Like okay. Men's, probably made by Rick Owens.
Okay, I got you.
I'm barefoot.
Silk, did you say?
No. It's I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm wearing...
You're barefoot?
I'm barefoot.
Mm.
I'm barefoot. I'm possibly bald.
Okay. Outdoor wedding, indoor wedding?
Outdoor wedding. It has to be on a black sand beach.
Ah, oh, very pretty.
Mm-hmm. And I want an orchestra of 50 women, 25 on each side, and I want them all to be wearing white Calvin Klein suits, okay. And I want to walk down the aisle of them playing Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka.
Ah. If you wanna...
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Yeah. What does he look like?
My husband?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's the cool thing about falling in love is that you don't know.
Well, in this picture that you have in your head.
In this picture that I have in my head, my husband.
Like right now, today, what do you see?
He looks like the one.
Yeah.
As cliche as that is, he looks like the one, and he looks like he wants to be with me.
Hmm. What is he wearing?
He is.
It's probably a little easier to think about.
He is wearing whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, good. I like that answer. Spreading that love around. This is the love bomb. This is the show. Let me ask you a question. Are you going through something? Do you, like, feel clouded walking through the day? Do you have big questions for the universe? Do you want to talk to somebody that just, like, isn't judging you all of the time? Because I know that I have a yes for all of these questions. And I have been looking for, like, the perfect therapist for some time now. And I stumbled on this website, this app, Talkspace. It's this online therapy company. And for literally $32 a week, you can work with this experienced, licensed therapist, handpicked specifically just for you. On Talkspace, you can send text messages, you can talk on the phone, you can Skype, FaceTime, video chat, whatever. whatever you want to do and whatever you want to talk about. You talk about your life, you can like work through what's keeping you up at night, or just work on like feeling a little bit happier. So if you want to sign up or learn more, go to talkspace.com/Nico and show your support for this podcast. Use code Nico, N-I-C-O, all in caps, to get $30 off your first month. That's Nico, N-I-C-O, at talkspace.com/Nico. We all need a little bit of help, you know? We can all take care of ourselves more than we are. Do the work. We all have to do the work. Talkspace, y'all. This is the love bomb. This
is the show. Yeah, it's the love bomb. All right, so let's talk about fashion for a little bit. What about fashion do you love the most? I mean, why are you so drawn to it?
Honestly, I didn't like fashion at first, but it's weird because my cousin used to go to graphic communication arts high school in New York.
Okay.
And he was studying fashion design, and he knew how to draw shoes really, really well. And I knew how to do it as well because he taught me. And like, we used to live together. He used to live with me and my mom and my dad. And every day before he went to school, he would always have it on Channel 14, which was a fashion channel back in the day. So I was watching like stuff when it was at Bryant Park, when it was Olympus Fashion Week before Mercedes.
Yeah.
And
I watched the last Bryant Park show, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I went to maybe 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's what he did. And then, like, you know, it kind of got like a little into it.
Right.
And then my mom was super heavy into fashion. And then as I got older, I started to have a love for fashion. And then when I got into fashion, I started to see like where I could like dominate,
yeah,
like what part I can dominate in the room. And like I was telling Alex right here, I was telling her, I was like, you know, it was crazy like the way how the fashion industry treats me now, because it's like I remember when they didn't want to treat me like anything. To sit in a front row and to just be like, oh, my friend's coming too, and not to be told like what are you doing? Like, it's like I've definitely earned my street cred for sure. Like, I've definitely put my work in, because I remember there used to be a time where there were like PR people that were like, no, we don't know who you are, you're not coming. Now it's like, come.
Yeah. Well, how did you get into the fashion scene?
So I used to do like voguing,
mm-hmm,
and I would put YouTube videos up on YouTube, and then I uploaded on YouTube. There was this guy named Shamir. Shamir asked me, he was just like, hey, how tall are you? I was like, I'm 5'10". He's like, I think you can be a model. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, sure. He was like, come and meet me downtown. I had my mom drive me like 2 hours away to go downtown. And then I ended up shooting with him, and I ended up signing with his agency that same day. And I ended up like doing like just like Fashion Week the first time. And like, it was crazy.
Yeah. And that was how long ago?
So this month equals 10 years I've been modeling.
10 years you've been modeling.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's the craziest story that you have modeling? What's the craziest thing that you've ever seen, craziest thing that's ever happened to you? Give me like the good model story.
Okay. I have so many. I had one the other day. That was fun. Leaving Socialista with Heidi Klum and Naomi Campbell.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. We met Naomi, actually. I didn't leave with her. I met with Heidi, and we went in her car, and then we went to Paul's Every Grand, and we met up with Naomi and Edward and Info,
mm-hmm,
and like Ducky and like all these great people. A good model story I have would be the first time I ever met Riccardo Tisci.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment. It was we were in Paris, it was summer, and it was like the summer men's fashion week, and it was this party out there. You ever been called Club Sandwich?
Mm-mm.
It's like a huge like gay party, but like everybody goes. We went to Club Sandwich, and I just remember seeing like Maria Carla Boscono, mm-hmm, who's like one of my favorite models, Leia T, Andre J at the time, who's like a huge fashion mogul.
Right.
And then there was Ricardo, and we're just all in the street, just like chilling. It's like the Givenchy squad, and we're just chilling. And I have on like these heels, and like my like thighs is out, like it's just chilling. And I think that was a great summer. And a great moment, a fashion moment for me. I think I have a lot of fashion stories. I just don't know what they are right now.
It's all good. Let's talk about some of the music videos you've done. Which one was the first one?
Katy Perry, When I Was 19.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that come into play?
I actually never tell the people this story, but I can tell you.
Sorry, I get a little claustrophobic.
It's okay.
So basically,
I'm yawning, people. You are listening.
I'm fucking boring him. That's what's happening.
No. I was out late. I was working with this lady at Art and Commerce, mm-hmm. and she was like, Sean, I'm working on this video for Lady Gaga, and I want you to be in it, but I need your help because I need you to help me find people in the LGBT community. And the way she said it was like kind of ignorant. She's like, I'm looking for trannies and like vogers. I'm like, girl, you mean transgender?
Yeah.
Or better yet, like, you know, like whatever. So she was looking for all these things. So I took her to this club at the time, which is called Greenhouse, Van Damme.
Yeah, I remember Greenhouse.
Okay, those are the days. I used to take her there. I took her there and then like I introduced her to everybody, like Amanda Lepore, Suzanne Barsh, like all of these people. Mm-hmm. And I guess the video concept ended up getting leaked. And I ended up not doing it, but I was actually supposed to be the main person in Born This Way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It never happened. I was sad. I was devastated. And then the next week, I just got like this Facebook message from this guy named Danny Lockwood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, hey, Sean, I'm Danny from EMI. Katy Perry saw your video that you did for Italian Vogue, and she really wants you to be in her video. And I'm like, yeah.
Duh,
Katy Perry. And I had never been to L.A. It was my first time ever going. And, yeah, that was my first video, and it was crazy. My first time being on a video set, it was massive. It was, like, there. We were there for, like, 5 days shooting this video. And when the video came out, it was, like, Katy Perry featuring Kanye West and Sean Ross.
Wow. Killing it. And Lana? Talk to me about Lana.
Lana. Love when I did Lana Del Rey.
That video is just unbelievable.
It took us a week to film that as well. Yeah. Lana's such a sweet person, too. She's, like, super humble and down-to-earth, like, beyond down-to-earth.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really love her energy. She makes you feel comfortable. And she can sing. Like, a lot of people feel like, oh, can this person sing? No, Lana can sing.
She can fucking belt.
No, she can. Lana, she sung
live?
To me.
Oh, my God.
She sung to me when we were in the car. And I'm like, damn, girl, you sing.
Yeah.
But working with her was great. And meeting so many people on that set for like for those 5 days was just amazing. I had them bring me a bottle of Jameson every day because I had a cold.
That whiskey just make that cold go away.
I mean, it did something.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know if it made it go away, but it did something, child.
And Beyonce?
So Beyonce, I knew Beyonce through Ty Hunter. Ty Hunter mm-hmm. is my godfather.
Oh, really?
And yeah, he introduced me to Beyonce when I was 19. And that was a crazy story, wow. actually, because... One day was my birthday, and he was like...
Ty's her stylist, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Creative director. But Ty's now doing his own thing now. He mm-hmm. just does, like, products on the side with okay. me sometimes. So Ty, it was my birthday, and he was just like, hey, come with me. I have to pick out clothing for Beyonce for the Spanish Armada. She's performing at the White House. I said, okay, cool. We went to, like, Cavalli. We went to Vera Wang. All these people picked up all these gowns. And then we went to this building, and it was, like, Beyonce's. I couldn't go upstairs because it's her house. But I was sitting in the lobby, and then this lady, Ty was like, oh, Beyonce loves you. She has your. I just came on ID Magazine at the time. Uh-huh. It was the Michael Jackson Pretty Young Things issue that Edward Enfield did the cover with Cecily Lopez, Chanel Iman, Arlene Sosa, and Jordan Dunn. And... he was like, yeah, she has your ID magazine in the car. I was like, okay, whatever. So I'm sitting down, and this lady comes in with this gold Louis Vuitton bag and these gold heels and this bohemian shirt and curly hair and glasses. And she goes, oh, hi, Sean. And I'm like, hi. I'm like, that was Beyonce. My Beyonce just said hello to me. So Beyonce goes upstairs. I'm waiting downstairs. I see Beyonce's bodyguard, Julius, and her driver, Mr. Curtis. And they're like, hey, get in the car. Like, it's cold outside. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm sitting in her car, Beyonce's car, and I look to my right, and I see my magazines right there.
Stop it.
With a post-it over my face. I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, she really had, like, my magazine inside of her car. I was like, oh, this is dope.
I mean, I really don't think that there is anybody better at their job, any job in the whole world, than Beyonce is.
Oh, Beyonce slays.
I mean, nobody even comes close.
Yeah, Beyonce slays.
Who would you say your greatest source of inspiration is?
My greatest source of inspiration would be my past.
Hmm.
Myself.
Yeah.
The way my mom has dealt with me.
Hmm.
And that's pretty much it. I'm not really inspired by much.
Yeah. Talk to me about your relationship with your mom.
My mom is dope. My mom is, like, super supportive. You know, and it's crazy because it's like I get so emotional lately because it's like I, you know, like you're getting older, the clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Like the clock is for sure, and it's ticking, and it's, you know, it's almost like when I look at people that I've known for so long, it's like I know, like, you know, one day you won't be here, and the end is coming soon. Not soon, but you know what I mean. Like, you don't know.
You never know.
Yeah. And it's just like I look at my mom, and I'm just like, you know, my mom is like when I. My greatest moments of my mom, you know, she's like 30-something. My mom's not 30 anymore. My mom just turned 15.
Wow.
I'm like, you're getting old, you know, like you're...
You start to see her more as a human being.
Yeah, right? It's like I'm seeing my mom. Like, you know, you're growing old every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're getting younger.
Right.
You know, so it's like I'm learning to, like, appreciate my parents while, you know, they're here. Because there's so many people who don't have their parents. Mm-hmm. And my parents, you know, there's things that they do that I don't agree with. My parents are awesome.
Yeah. Do you feel like the fashion industry, the modeling world, do you feel like there's this, like, inherent either racism or homophobia that's built into the system at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's extremely homophobic inside of the fashion industry, where it's like now it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's like you can't be on this runway if you're too girly.
Mm-hmm.
What you mean? If I'm pumping, I'm pumping. Like, what, it don't matter. But it's like, It is very that.
Yeah, no,
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I mean, I feel like so many people are just trying to, like, tell you to be a certain way, you know? I mean, I've never really loved the modeling world for that reason.
You modeled, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, for a little bit when I was younger. But I was always an actor first that, like, kind of modeled, you know?
Which, by the way, okay, let's have this moment, first of all.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I can't even believe that I'm here, because it's like, I remember watching you on, like, The Following, which I'm so pissed that show's not even on the internet. That show was the shit in the urine. Like, it was literally one of the best shows. Literally watching that show was so good.
That was a wild show, to be honest.
No, you just never knew who to trust.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, they never caught the bad guy, you know what I mean?
Like, I was gagging, and then it was like you, I was like, child. By the way, whoever your boo played in the show, what was his name?
The boy or the girl?
The boy.
Aiden Kanto.
He is.
Yeah. Super machismo, though, that
he
guy.
He is fine. But anyhow, yeah. That show was amazing. And it's, like, crazy because I'm, like, watching you, and I also see a lot of things that you're doing. And it's just like, oh, yeah, just, you know, going to go get interviewed by Nico. Okay. It's casual.
Just a typical just Friday casual. Here. Super casual.
Typical Friday in New York. It's cold. Get interviewed by Nico. Nothing big.
I love it. Yeah, this movie I'm going to go do, the Menendez Brothers movie, it kind of reminds me of, like, what I had to channel for The Following, you know?
Psycho Sanders.
Basically, yeah, playing another fucking, not a serial killer, but a dude that
killed. Do you have serial killer tendencies?
I don't think so, no.
I feel like I'd be a bad serial killer. I feel like I would literally leave, like, all of the, like, trail on the floor. I would be, like, literally killing at the wrong time.
Well, I don't think anybody should ever be a good fucking serial killer, you know what I mean? You're an actor too now, though.
Correct? Yeah, I was on Man of the High Castle.
How was that?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good doing that. It was definitely good being on a show. Definitely. But I can't speak about it, but I'm working on a project this year.
Okay, very cool. TV, film?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Oh,
I mean, I will tell you.
Yeah, I got you.
We're off the air, but I can't tell you. I can't tell you whoever is listening.
Okay, yeah, there ain't nobody listening yet. Let me talk to you about this split between masculine energy and feminine energy.
Okay.
How do you feel like you balance the two? And what that spectrum looks like, or like
to me?
Where you fit into it, yeah.
Well, I'm comfortable. Yeah. I'm a man. I mean, I can pretty much say anything on here, right?
Yeah, absolutely anything.
Okay, I'm a man. I have a dick.
Yeah.
I have a dick. I have a huge dick,
okay.
Actually.
Good for
And for me, I never ever allow that to kind of like differentiate, like, okay, I'm you know, like,
yeah,
I'm a man, like I'm a man. I love being dominant. I love being aggressive. I'm a super aggressive person, and I think people are also very surprised by that.
Yeah,
like I'm aggressive in everything I do. I'm aggressive in these goddamn heels right now. These Balenciaga heels, I'm aggressive in them. Like, it doesn't matter.
Red velvet, like, Balenciaga heels.
They're not velvet, they're velour.
Velour.
Yeah, they're velour. I'd curse you out in heels. I'd curse you out in sneakers.
Like, yeah,
but I think that that's the cool thing, is like my energy, I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm always like that. I feel like clothing and yes, like, you know, the way you come off has a lot to do with feminine, masculine, or what you're giving out to the world, but I really feel like it shouldn't matter.
But it does, you know? I mean, and especially in our industry, it does. Especially if you want to keep acting, you know? Like, I was having conversations for years about how I was going to handle whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, and how that was going to affect my career. I mean, do you think that it, these what, conversations...
What, like loving, like, the same sex?
Well, no, I don't know. Just being open about who you are and, like, being unapologetically yourself, do you think I that think it can that affect you, our careers?
It can affect your careers, but it's a difference today. Like, one thing you have to put into perspective, the reason why, and I'm being real.
Yeah, no, that's what I want
to hear. The reason why
it
will never affect your career is because you're white. That's the thing. If a black person does it, they get slammed to the ground. And that's the honest truth. And it's like, you tell the world tomorrow you're gay, bisexual, that just means that you just went up in the scale.
Huh.
Now the whole world really wants you now. It's like, damn, we can both have him? Let's have him.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's the truth. It honestly is true. It's like, think about, if you can name one actor who is in their prime that has came out as even bisexual and has succeeded, name them.
Who hasn't succeeded or who has succeeded?
No. Name a black actor today who...
Jussie Smollett?
Yes, Jussie. But Jussie, I would say, definitely is. He's the first of his kind.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, he came out as that. I'm talking about name someone who didn't come out.
Raven Simone.
That's a girl. Male.
Oh, you said guy.
Can't really do it, can you?
Well, I mean, name another white guy bisexual that you know of that came out.
I can name someone who's gay and who's still working. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And that's enough. Like, he goes back, way back.
I mean, what about Frank Ocean?
Or Frank Ocean. Like, Frank Ocean is, like, amazing, but it's, like, it's so small. There needs to be more of it, which is why I think it's good that you're doing that.
Right.
It works. And it's not, like, if you were, like, a hot mess and if you were, like, going, like, okay, guys, I like guys this week and I'm going to be a girl. It's, like, no, you're still Nico.
Yeah.
And it's still hot to either the guy or the girl. Yeah. Like, I think you're hot. Alex, you think he's hot? Right.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's like, it works.
Well, I mean, I think I do have a privilege of, like, passing in either world.
Which is good.
You know what I mean?
Because everybody can't do that.
No, and I don't know. But I'm not, like, doing it for anybody else but myself.
And that's even better because it's authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I realized really early on if, like, people were going to be having this conversation at all, because I've never been shy about who I've dated publicly or personally. I was going to lead that conversation. And, like, I don't know, if there was somebody doing what I was doing or even what you're doing right now when we were growing up that we could look up to, like, it would have fucking changed the whole game.
But we don't, because you don't know why everybody's, like, what is his name just came out? McConan just came out, which I think is good for him to do, like, because that's really a hard, being, you know, like, a man of color, like, inside of that world of music is, like, right. So hard to do that.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, you also have, what's his name? You also have, Chance the Rapper's brother.
Yeah, Chance.
Chance the Rapper's brother just came out as bisexual.
Oh, really? I didn't
see
that. Yeah.
And he's fine, too, if you're listening.
Holler.
Holler.
Okay, I want to take a few moments here to tell you about Spoke. This is a new listening app from SiriusXM and partner of The Love Bomb. Spoke is more than just a podcast app, okay? It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and so much more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Psh, I know I have. Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real-life human beings, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast by finding the best moments and highlights from shows and organize them into thematic playlists. Choose from close to 100 different playlists. There's just so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's a little overwhelming to start listening to each one. Because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, right? Allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song. I love it. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation, leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends on social media. That's right, hit me up on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support The Love Bomb and all your other favorite At Will shows. Do you feel like you have a new responsibility in the world of 2017 and, you know, it being Trump's America at this point and you being a successful black albino gay man?
I honestly, first of all, think that having Trump as president is one of the best things ever. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because it's waking everyone up.
Right. Yeah.
It's waking everyone up. It's like, okay, now we have an asshole inside of the freaking office. Now what are you going to do?
Right.
And what I love about the Obamas is that they gave us hope, but now it's up to us to keep the hope alive.
Yeah.
And that's why I am happy that Trump is in office, because I feel like America feeds you this lie that you're free and you're really not.
Mm-hmm.
You were never free to begin with.
Right. Okay, so racially speaking, do you feel like you've dealt with a different set of circumstances because of what you look like?
Absolutely.
And where you come from?
So first of all, there was a time, so when you do, you know when you do like the school test, you have to fill out either white, black,
right, Caucasian, whatever. Caucasian, African American.
I used to put other for the longest time because I didn't know what I was.
Really?
Yeah, when I was younger, I didn't know what to like feel like. I didn't know like what I was. Mm-hmm. So I just would just put other for the longest time.
How do I phrase this? Do you feel like you're treated differently by your white friends and differently by your black friends because of specifically what you look like?
Yes, but I also feel like I am treated the way I'm treated is because I'm me.
Right.
Not just because I'm Sean, but it's like sometimes people around me so much that like I even forget you have albinism.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely do.
Yeah, it's like you're just you.
Yeah, and like beautiful you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, seriously, though. All right, a couple more questions. Do you love yourself?
Learning to.
Yeah?
I think we all are.
What do you think it means to love yourself?
I think for me, to love myself is understanding that I don't need other things around me to make me feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very important thing. Like, I'm just, like, I'm enjoying every day. I'm partying. I'm, like, chilling.
Right.
Like, that's what life is about. Like, you should be stress-free.
Yeah.
As much as possible, and just be like chilling and just like be thankful for the things that you have, like the life that you're living, the blessings that you're receiving from whoever you believe in.
Right.
And that's honestly, that's, yeah.
What's your take on religion? Where do you stand?
I'm not religious.
You're not?
Mm-mm.
Were you raised religious? Nope. Mm-mm. No?
Our parents allowed us to make whatever decision. I went to a church when I was younger, but our parents allowed us to be whatever we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be considered, would it be agnostic?
Yeah. Do you do any philanthropic work, any work with charities?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing right now?
I have my own charity, which is called In My Skin I Win, and it's about self-encouragement. It's a self-encouragement movement, just about body image and just loving who you are every day when you look in the mirror.
Mm.
I've also teamed up with like a lot of people in the past. Like, I've done stuff for like Life Ball with like, you know, fighting against like HIV/AIDS.
Yeah.
I've done stuff with charities for like autism. I've done stuff with charities for diabetes, my younger brother. I've done some cancer. Like, I've done.
You're doing your work. You're doing your work. All right, I love it. What does the future look like for Sean Ross?
The future looks there.
Yeah. I mean, like, best case scenario, what do you want to be doing with your life?
It's weird. I don't tell people. I just like people to see. So when people say, like, you know, like, what do you have coming out or what are you working on? I'm just like, wait, you just see.
Wait, you just see. I mean, do you think you're going to stay in this industry?
Wait and see.
Wait and see. Wait and see. Go wait and see.
Wait and see, Shakisha.
All right. One last question, and then you are free to go frolic. What does love mean to you, Sean? What is love?
Love to me is, I don't want to be cliche and say it, but love to me is, it's unconditional, obviously, but it's like, it's a feeling that you'll know, like you'll know what it is. And love isn't only just romantically.
Yeah.
Love is, you know, when someone just genuinely loves you, like, you know, that, like, I love you, you know, like, it's just, it's obtainable for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like you'll know for sure. And it makes me question, because like something you said earlier, like love does change.
Yeah.
Love is change.
I love that. Love is change. Well, I love you, Sean Ross.
I love you too, Nico.
This is the Love Bomb. This is the show.
Yes, God, Sean Ross, thank you a million times for coming in and doing this Love Bomb episode. Sean, I just want to say I am so proud of you. And thank you for being so unapologetically yourself and really giving like zero shits given across the board. I think what you stand for is exactly the future that I want to be a part of. And I think that you are an amazing role model for so many people. So if you want to know more about Sean,
Follow him on Instagram at Sean D. Ross. That's at S-H-A-U-N-D-R-O-S-S. Follow me on Instagram at Nico Tortorella. Follow us, thelovebomb.us. And keep on listening, y'all. We have some incredible new episodes coming up. One thing I want you to think about before the end of this episode is nothing you can imagine is unattainable. Nothing at all. Remember that. That is your mantra today. Nothing is unattainable. Everything is possible. I love you all. This is a motherfucking love bomb. Rawr.
Taking you up and down. This is the love bomb. We're about to explode.
Nico. Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, curated specifically just for you. Go to hearspoke.com/at will. That's HEARSPOKE.com/ATWILL right now.